appreciate and know it. It's always, is there, certainly when you actually have to rely on somebody, you need to call on
Katie Grimason, Birmingham's gift to the galaxy on the midweek drive for Siren FM and more.
Oh, is that right, Katie?
Yeah.
Anyway, you'll be off to work in the jewellery quarter of Birmingham to do more search engine optimising and other delightful things here. But we also welcome to the studio Emma Tinson. How are you, Emma?
I'm well, thank you.
Excellent. And, of course, we need to give you the weather forecast. Well, we don't need to, but we like to. It's part of our course. 10 degrees centigrade is the high today. 9 degrees centigrade is the low. So fairly standard there, I think. A cloudy and misty day with occasional rain or drizzle. Says it all in so many ways. Katie, what are you going to be? Have you got a routine now? I mean, obviously now you are a commuter and you're going into the heart of Birmingham from Erdington and all sorts of other areas. You know, is it a case of everything's got to be set out, or do you just wake up and think, right, what am I going to wear today? Do you have a butler or a maid to do it? Talk us through your domestic routine, Katie.
No, I don't have a routine really, because I'm not full time yet, and it's a bit annoying really, but at the same time it's a bit of a luxury, because I only do one day. I only do 3 days a week with one day at 9 to 5.
Right.
So it's not too bad. But then
a tough call then, basically.
Yeah. When my hours increase, I'll have to get into a routine then.
Yeah. There we are. I'm just actually sort of realising that the reason we got a slight sort of buzzer, I think the microphone needs to be just a little bit further away from the loudspeaker, otherwise you get that sort of natural buzz thing coming through there, and then you see, I think, yeah, you see, buzz goes. You see,
magic.
It's just looking through the whole thing, I see somebody sort of humming here, is something over there, and there are sort of folk who are sort of paying keen attention to these kind of things, so we need to ensure that's the best sort of system. Emma, you are almost halfway through your programme as a journalism student here at the University of Lincoln. Katie was in your position a year and a half ago, and look at her now, still on the midweek drive, still doing fantastic stuff from that sort of point of view. So any questions you want to put to Katie about, you know, the usual sort of advice, words of wisdom and so on?
Yeah, I mean, Katie, how are you finding it being in, well, not quite full-time employment, but out of the student life and into the big wide world?
It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be, because it took me about 6 months to even get this job. Like, when it's quite weird when you leave uni, if you don't really know what you want to go into, but I kind of did. So I kept going after like digital media companies, and every interview I was going for was kind of, they rejected me, and then you do get down, but it's best just to keep going, and then something will happen in the end. But it's not as bad as you think, because you kind of just, it's like a transition, really. You don't really feel like a student anymore when you've finished your third year, and you're quite happy to get away from being a student, I think, after like the stress of what third year brings.
So that's something to look forward to, the stress of the third year, and then it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. Oh,
it's
good from that point of view.
Yeah,
and Katie is thinking, you don't put in a postgraduate course, so she might go through that whole sort of system again in every
sense
of the
word. I don't think I am anymore.
Oh, yeah, well, there we are, you see. Who knows what could happen in the whole sort of world of the Grimason, and, you know, the world is a happy place for all that. You know, she actually said to me off air, Emma, and I appreciate that sometimes you say these things off air, which you don't want to put on air, but I think in this particular case, we need to make public, you know, wearing our journalistic investigative hats here, that Katie said, when I asked her, did she catch any of Phil Linus's birthday show yesterday? No, she said, I don't get in until 6 o'clock. Well, there's a flaw in that argument, isn't there? Because Phil never, ever does his pieces before. So it's very, very rare that he's prior to six. I can only recall the only time he did things prior to six was when we were doing a 25-hour non-stop show, in which case he was on the every hour. So, you know.
Have you got any plans to do a marathon again? Or not?
Well, yes, but it'll be another sort of 3.5 millennia, because obviously that's the time the next Mayan calendar comes to an end. So,
well,
you know, we're looking ahead to that.
You could still do a show what lasts like more than 24 hours.
Well, we could, Katie. We could, but at present, no plans.
If there's any other end of the world crisis,
we are the people to call.
Yes.
You know, this is the whole thing. You know, you've got the midweek drivettes. We'll be on the case with our good friends from Chilpack Hollywood and more. We will be there. No questions asked. You know, just pick up the telephone number, call us, studio@sirenonline.co.uk, and we will be there. But, you know, as it stands, no. If, however, you actually want to listen back to all of those 25, they're still online. You know, everything's still there. You're still in the virtual world. You can go to the podcasts. That's what they're there for. sometimes you just sort of realise you just constantly have to sort of make these points. Oh, who knows what's happening? Okay, we'll be speaking to Alice Beer, consumer expert extraordinaire, of course, and Ayas Alam from the company Asda about the big thing that's tomorrow, which, of course, is frenzied Black Friday. Yes, frenzied shoppers rush for Christmas bargains.
Oh, not Black Friday. I've had to do enough promoting of that at work.
Yep, historically, Boxing Day was the big day for shoppers to hit the high street and queue for hours in search of a cut-price bargain. But UK consumers are now getting a pre-Christmas fix as the American trend of Black Friday continues to dominate our retail calendar. Apparently, retailer Asda actually last year sold a month's worth of TVs in an hour. 11,400 tablets in an hour. Now, question. Obviously, that could just be pills in a bottle, in which case it's a lot easier.
You don't think so?
You think it's the actual computer-based thing? Got to excuse me, as I say, I just actually took receipt of my first ever smartphone 2 days ago.
Unsuccessfully.
What? You've got a smartphone?
Well, you know, let's not just get overexcited here. You know, just
possibly
hold.
Not for long, Katie.
Well, no. Last night, I successfully managed to listen to radio via my smartphone and aerials.
Ah.
I took it back to the aforementioned store. Oh, don't ask me questions like that. I think it's one of those Motorola
things.
Yeah,
I think it's
a
Motorola.
There we are. I had to pass it over to Emma to actually say, what's going on here? She couldn't actually give me an answer, so I went, so I went back to the store. And what do I get in the store? Oh, I'm sorry, you'll have to come outside with me. There's no signal in here. Anyway, it's sort of sorted after a fashion. But at the end of the day, yeah, phones are there to actually sort of have phones and to obviously relay messages, as Jessica Ward has relayed a fine message today to say she's not feeling too well. So she's going to miss the show today. Really sorry
Very
for the inconvenience.
Sad.
It's sad, but it's also inconvenient. So she's right to be sorry. So never mind. That's all right. Hopefully she'll be fit for tomorrow, of course, our first location report.
Yes. Very exciting.
I know you'll miss this, Katie. I mean, we'd actually raise it when you connected with the media chambers, etc. But it's the food and gift fair at the Linkage Agricultural Showground. This weekend it's on.
Oh, yeah.
I do recall you did actually faithfully promise that you'd be bringing your parents to actually come to the food and gift fair to actually, you know, check the whole thing out. Presumably that's just been slipped into the background with all your sort of busy work that you do.
Oh, no comment.
No comments, you see. No, Katie Grimmison pleads the Fifth Amendment. Last two questions for Katie, please. Emma.
Yes, Katie, have you had a reasonably good telephonic link with us today?
Yeah, it's been a really good start to the day.
Aww.
Made me happy.
That's what we're about, you see. We might be dying inside, but we make other people happy. That's the important
That's
thing. Precisely. And?
And will you be joining us again anytime soon?
Yeah, I will. Definitely.
Oh, thanks.
Meanwhile, for people who really want to go back in time and experience some psychedelia. I believe it was Summer of Love. Then again, if you could remember it, you weren't really there. Green Tambourine and the Lemon Pipers. But even Richard Fitzwilliams can't remember 1967-68 and the Lemon Pipers. Can you, Richard? It's far before your
time. Well, you never know. I mean, it's a year or two ago, that, isn't it?
So before we go into Paddington Bear, not literally, of course, we don't actually do bear penetrations on this programme. It's a different sort of case entirely. We like our bears, and indeed, Emma, tomorrow you might actually meet the official on-location mascot that we actually have. I refer to him as Spike, OK?
I look forward to it.
Well, I know. Almost as much as people who, shameless plug coming up here, so a little alert, people who purchase the Daily Mail might find when they actually go to page 51 of the Daily Mail today. Other newspapers are available, but the Daily Mail is the one that you want to actually promote for this particular day, Richard. Why is that then?
Well, it just so happens I received, remember, I was editor of International Who's Who from 1975 to 2001. Yes. I've always followed and lectured on the British Who's Who, and their new edition is out on Monday. What do I discover in the press release? That for the first time they've heard of someone called Carlos Acosta.
Goodness.
A legend, of course. I mean, it's quite extraordinary, and they've only included him, it seems, because he's got a CBE in the New Year's Honours list. I mean, I ask, are Who's Who asleep? So who's who caught sleeping is the little piece, and I also ask why no Keira Knightley.
I'm with you there, obviously.
Completely impartial when it comes to who's who.
I mean, end of the day, Richard, we know we will not rest until it is Dame Keira Knightley.
Well, there it is. There's a challenge. And also, why no Chiwetel Ejiofor? Why no Naomi Campbell? Kate Moss is in. So, I mean, you know, they haven't got Russell Crowe in either. So are people included because of their temperament?
No.
One could ask.
No. This from the editor of International Who's Who from 1975 to 2001. Outrageous.
It is extraordinary. Having Carlos Acosta, I didn't ever look him up because I'd always assumed Who's Who is very strong in certain fields. And I mean, for those classical music in theatre, in opera and ballet, so I'd, you know, take that for granted. But no, they've only just included.
And Emma Tinson, has she actually emerged in the thing this time? Is there any place for
many
Emma?
Many are called, but fewer chosen.
Aww.
Not this year then, Emma. Never mind.
Maybe next time.
Low profile sometimes and then sort of emerge from that perspective. Certification and classification and Paddington Bear. Where's that going to take us, though?
Well, where indeed will it take us? Because Michael Bond's much-loved creation has been brought to the screen with verve, with colour. It's fun. It's absolutely priceless. Both the use, I would say, on a couple of occasions of documentary footage, of also of London. It's a film that has a...
The key question, Richard, I'm sorry to just briefly cut across the thing, but the key question is, does Nicole Kidman match her performance as Princess Grace of Monaco in Paddington?
I think she matches her performance, and you asked...
Or in Australia?
In Australia. I mean, one does have to say, if there's a weak spot, it is Nicole's lack of, shall we say...
It's never been same since Tom Cruise obviously sort of ended, really. It's still
That takes us back, my goodness me, it does. I mean, she was in Rabbit Hole, and she was superb in that. Give her an indie, and, I mean, with so many other performers, too, they'll thrive in a good one. But Paddington... Oh, it's absolutely fantastic. It's fun. It's entertaining. What would you do if you traveled to London after an earthquake in Peru in a container? You go to Paddington Station.
Of course.
And a handwritten label round your neck. Yeah. Please look after this bear.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Paddington
they meet
bear.
The bear. The bear meets the Brown family. Paddington is given tea, a name, a roof over his head. Ben Whishaw is the voice of Paddington, and my goodness me, they've created a glorious, delightful creature for all children, I would say. And this brings us to one of the lunacies, one of the idiosyncratic. I'm appalled. I really am appalled by the British Board of Film Classification.
Yeah, it's not censorship. It used to be censorship. Now it's classification.
It's classification. But would you note this? A PG rating was given to this film because of, I quote, mild sexual references. What happens is that...
Innuendo, to be precise, actually.
It has now been altered to innuendo. What happens is that the scene where Hugh Bonneville, who plays Henry Brown, dresses up in women's clothing, a scene where he's in drag and someone looks at him as though he might be a bit sexy for a second. Nonsense.
It's then the thin end of the wedge, Richard. Mild bad language as well.
Yes, I'm coming to this. It's been altered to infrequent bad language. Apparently, swear word is muffled. I mean, this is a load of nonsense, of course. Dangerous behaviour, my good gracious me. I mean, that is deeply shocking, I'm sure you'll agree. And mild threat. Well, I wouldn't have thought that what Nicole Kidman's Millicent wants to do to poor Paddington is
those mild. Bears are darn scary. You know, you have a teddy bear's picnic, you go down to the woods today, you could have a very big surprise. And, you know, I shall say no more other than Michael Bond, the creator of Paddington Bear. It took me a long time to even begin to think about Paddington because I was much more a Winnie the Pooh person. But then again, that's a different line. Maybe it's the Peruvian connection. but in terms of that whole system, and we're looking at the trailer now, it looks a bit threatening to me, doesn't it? I mean, what about yourself?
It looks shocking.
To find a home.
You know, is way too
dramatic. The bear
on
the station. He's looking sort of quite concerned there. You've got, obviously, Paddington Station on that side of things. Yeah, I think actually 15, really.
At least, perhaps 80. I mean, it's extraordinary because we've reached, I thought, a reasonable balance with censorship. I mean, we haven't had anything as silly as this for many years. And
well, people got confused, obviously, about... I mean, I think it was the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie, which was given 12A, and there was a sense there that because, obviously, of the nature, you'd actually work through that. And clearly, people still get a bit confused when they think, why isn't Batman given a U? Well, I don't think so. Not with the sort of mumbles that Christopher Nolan introduced in the system. The kids couldn't understand the Venom thing. So
and don't forget Bane, the villain in The Dark Knight Rises.
Or should we say... That's
an impression. Well, yes, and people have been complaining, of course, as
Interstellar?
Interstellar, no. yes. Much to enjoy in that film, but certainly a problem with some of the dialogue, as I found, I have to say, in Fury. But back to Paddington, I do have to say, this is a joyous film. It's delightful. What happens when Paddington goes to the palace? What happens when he goes on the underground? What happens when he... looks at the bathroom and finds all sorts of strange gadgets, what happens when he uses a toothbrush, all this you will discover, and what happens, of course, when there's a woman out to
I've just seen Nicole Kidman's hairstyle, and that is seriously scary. You know,
that
blonde bob.
You'd change mild threat to a very considerable threat.
Clearly, exactly.
Yes,
clearly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
No, but do see Paddington. Seriously, it's terrific fun. It's a lovely film. The homage to London, and I mean, we must give a brief mention, too, to the cast. Hugh Bonneville, who I always think is superb in Downton, I mean, as Henry Brown. Very English show. This is takes time to really acclimatise to the bear, so to speak, but there he is. He's a rock when there's trouble. Sally Hawkins as Mrs. Brown's a delight. Remember Mike Lee's Hecky Happy Go Lucky. Nicole Kidman, we might pass over quite swiftly. But there is a very, very funny scene which, shall we say, involves a relative and a flashback, because Paddington knows of London because of activities which are linked to Nicole Kidman Millicent's father and the Geographical Society in London. They are very funny, and they use documentary footage most entertainingly. Pseudo-documentary footage, I ought to say. Peter Capaldi's there, Julie Walters. Oh, yes, so much to enjoy. Such fun. Wonderful to be in London. And if you're a bear, well, it does take you a minute or two to get used to our behaviour, as it might. But on the other hand, when you've got a movie as colourful, as bright, as fun as this, it's a movie for everyone to go and enjoy, and the British Film Classification Board have made idiots of themselves.
Richard, I sense you've been bearing your soul there.
Oh.
So, Paddington, obviously, thumbs up for that perspective. Paddington Bear, we've talked about the Daily Mail. Anything else you want to bring to us to consider this morning, Richard?
Oh, indeed, there is. There's a very good Western, a Western that was considered so good that it was up for the Palme d'Or in Cannes, one of the... those in contention, The Homesman, and it's directed by Tommy Lee Jones, also stars in it, set in the 1850s, well shot, extremely well acted. It's a bleak movie, it gives you an idea of what it was like to be not only in Nebraska at that time, but also the difficulties of problems of being a woman in that time. Mary B. Cuddy, played by Hilary Swank, a wonderful actress, so first class, and she's good here. She's a middle-aged spinster from New York. She goes to Nebraska. She's too plain to find a husband, and this depresses her, and she becomes desperate. In a harsh winter, three young women show signs of insanity, and tough scenes here, be warned, and the Reverend Dowd calls on someone to take a wagon and bring them back, and so that they can be helped. Mary B. Cuddy is the volunteer, and she comes across George Briggs, played by Tommy Lee Jones, someone who's about to be lynched, but he's still on his horse, so he's still alive, and she helps him on condition he helps her. It's the chemistry between the two of them that makes the movie extremely powerful, really, a touching film. It works well because it's well acted. The story isn't always convincing, but it gives you an idea of what a bleak, dangerous time this was, and also a sense of place visually, very, very strong. Use of music is effective. I liked this film. There are scenes that I didn't completely believe, couple of contrived moments, but it was a really powerful performance by Hilary Swank as someone who's suffering from severe depression. And Tommy Lee Jones, a scene chewing movement or a moment or two, but he's pretty good. And it's a rather unusual film, and it shows what a tough life it was for so many at that time in the West.
And Meryl Streep's in it. Amazing.
There Meryl Streep, a very effective cameo role, really. Yes, again, Meryl Streep, absolutely.
Is she in International Who's Who this year?
Well, good Lord, she was in International Who's Who for many years ago.
Yeah, but she might have dropped off the radar, Richard, you know. It's just a thought on that basis.
Well, you never know when she'll win her next Oscar.
I know. Season awards coming through. We'll be talking about that in every sense of the word. But the key questions are Emma, Paddington, or indeed the exciting word of the, I was going to say the horseman there. It's not the horseman. It's the horseman.
The homesman,
exactly.
There are horses in it, believe me.
Easily confused, particularly when the time is 25 past 8 precisely. Would you go for both?
They both look great. Mm. If I had to pick one, it would have to be Paddington.
I'm a huge fan. Everyone is going to be Paddington. It's going to be a wonderful Christmas when it comes to... I mean, you have, of course, the Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1, if you want. Yes, a demand of violence, it's true, and they're stretching
12A,
it out.
12A, unbelievable. Surely it should have been
they're stretching it out so outrageously, but, I mean, it'll be there. And also, we've got coming up The Hobbit, so, I mean, plenty of movies to see, but Paddington will win a place in everybody's heart.
Yeah, I must say, I actually went out yesterday and I spotted a Paddington Bear advent calendar. I had to buy it.
If you wander around London, you'll spot various little statues of Paddington.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yes, there's one, for example, I came across in Bond Street yesterday. It's absolutely charming. It's all part of a promotion of the film, and this is a film that word of mouth would promote alone. I mean, it's just such fun. And as I say, it is very colourful. It's rather imaginative. We're not talking about maybe the most subtle film ever made, but we're talking about a movie that's got a real heart.
You know, we really should try and get a pre-Christmas location visit sorted.
Oh, yes, do. I think it would be such fun.
We'll do our best. We'll sort something out on that basis. Fantastic. As ever, a delight to actually share some of the details of page 51 of the Daily Mail today. And, of course, The Homesman and Paddington. There we are. Emma, it's time for you to bowl those last two questions towards Richard before we actually play a tune just for Paddington.
Of course, Richard, have you had a reasonably good telephonic link with us today?
I most certainly have. It's been such fun.
Oh, lovely.
And the tune for Paddington is brought to you by Hannah Bethel, and it's The Way Back Home.
Oh. I don't know the way.
Ago, Emma, which you're far too young to remember or even recall in any way, shape, or form, called Show Me the Way to Go Home. You ever encountered that? Go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed. I had a little drink about an hour ago and it went right to my head. Ian Lennox might be too young to remember that as well. I mean, do you remember that? Show Me the Way to Go Home.
Actually, it sounds vaguely familiar.
Usually sung by inebriated souls, actually, I have to say. Which we wouldn't advise, particularly not at 31 minutes past 8 o'clock in the morning here on Siren FM. Because, you know, there are certain things we say, well, it must be Pim's o'clock somewhere. No, think about the liver, particularly as we head into the festive season. Good morning, Ian Lennox. How are you?
Good morning, I'm fine. How are you?
Very good indeed. Notice you didn't actually respond to my line there about, do you remember showing me the way to go home? But
I do remember it very well, actually, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm old enough to remember everything.
The totality of the universe is sorted out by going down the mind of Ian Lennox. Truly wondrous, wondrous. Actually, we asked this of Katie Grimmison earlier at the show when we launched. What's your morning routine, Ian? I mean, do you have a morning routine? Or did you have one when you were kind of regularly working for Tyne Tees Television? Did you get your butler to lay out your suits of a night, of an evening, to sort through the whole thing? Do you prefer to prepare the night before? Or do you prefer to ensure that everything changes on the day itself?
No, I got up at 8 o'clock every morning.
Right.
And when I left Tyne Tees, for years, I woke up, you know, around about the same time. Mm-hmm. But I don't now, so...
Well,
I wake up at all different times.
I mean, yeah, apart, of course, from Thursday mornings, when, as one of the regular contributors to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, you know, specifically, as is regularly read out by Andrew David on Monday's companion show, Drive, Ian Lennox with more reflections on sport and the globe. Katie Grimmison was quite rightly shocked. We didn't really speak to her about the tragedy of the Australian young cricketer who sadly lost his life from that point of view. But I thought they actually wore helmets and such like to prevent things.
They
like
do
that.
Wear helmets, but, obviously. But I haven't seen any film of that. I don't think anybody has. I'm not sure. Mm. I assume what's happened is that there are far, far more bouncers bowled nowadays than 40 years ago. What's happened, I imagine, is that the ball has been short and he's misjudged the flight and turned his back, or turned his head, and it's hit the back of his head, I would think. I mean, I don't know the details. Cause
it's speculation. Obviously, it's just a tragedy.
In fact, it must hit the back of his head. It hit the artery, didn't it? It split the arteries, causing... blood to the brain, I think.
Indeed.
So it must have hit the back of his head.
That's
the only way it could happen. People don't realise that these balls, I don't know what the speed of the baller was in question, but they're going between 80 and 100 miles an hour. Yeah. I saw a guy bowling at Durham, he's bowling 100 miles an hour. And he couldn't see the ball from the boundary, you know, he just couldn't see it. I watched Steve Harmison bowl 90 miles an hour.
It's almost as though they've taken inspiration from gentlemen and players, really, in terms of working through that.
No, actually, Larwood, he bowled, I think he's probably the fastest bowler ever been. I saw black and white film him bowling. And you can't time it because the technology wasn't there in those days. But the speed at which he was bowling was amazing. And Bradman, who was arguably the best batsman of all time.
That would be Donald Bradman, of course.
Yes. Was hit in his backside once because he turned his back on him. That's basically what happened.
At this point, Emma, we could normally just invite our events diarist extraordinaire John Wenham to join us in the studio, and John and Ian could quite happily talk for the rest of the programme. But we're not going to do that, you know? I'm sorry, John, but, you know, just weren't ready to go there. Just to hold back. It's great stuff. Suffice to say that, obviously, the sympathies of... all of us actually go to Paul Hughes and family, and it's a sad time, and obviously proving that sport can still be dangerous in all sorts of ways. Obviously, I know you want to celebrate Sergio Aguero's classic hat trick that he popped in against Bayern Munich on, let's say, Tuesday night, Ian.
Why are you waving a little rattle in front of the television?
Yeah, exactly.
It was an amazing game, wasn't it?
As you can imagine, the depths of despair, one might well say, after the free kick and the header from Bayern Munich, which I thought, what are they doing? But still,
yes.
It was strange,
wasn't it? It was strange. Well, it was a shoulder, wasn't it? A header.
Almost as strange as Newcastle United still continuing to win games, you know, and just moving into fifth position in the league. It's strange, but true.
We were fourth at
You were indeed. You were indeed fourth there. But apart from that, and tuning out and zoning into all area, I mean, we can only do so much sport, otherwise we just explode, you know?
Right.
And besides, we don't know what the netball result was.
Yes, we
don't. See, this is the critical thing. You know, we got the text from Jessica Ward, so she was a bit poorly on
Maybe
well,
that's why.
I, didn't want to push it. I mean, I was tempted to sort of reply with, I thought, no, best not say anything, really. But if you're listening, Jessica, don't worry about it. You know, if you just want to, don't say anything, OK? And there's always another game.
Just did they lose, did they?
No, this is speculation. You know, we're not even, just best not go there. Really.
So right.
Maybe she's actually up to chapter 12 of
does
the...
Does she become quite manic about netball and things?
I think. She's from New Zealand. when we saw, you see, John Wenham's outside the studio now. Like, wait, you see, we knew he was going to actually. She mentioned cricket. Woof, he's in there. We've only got a few moments. We might bring in John for a few seconds. But in terms of Jessica, I don't think she's necessarily sort of.
She's quite calm.
She does strike me as a relatively sort of well balanced individual.
She probably gets quite competitive in the game.
Probably, yeah.
But
we should do a location report, Emma. We should actually go there
and we
should indeed, absolutely. We were going to actually go to Weak Need, which is the Cameron Tilbury musical selection for this week, but he's arrived. Okay, he's got a few moments. John, come in, have a seat. Obviously, preview. At least we got one listener. only kidding. We know that you're out there somewhere in Carhome Road. And Paddington Bear. But John, welcome along to the production. Short moments. You've heard obviously Ian's thoughts in terms of the tragedy of Phil Hughes and the injury which effectively ended his life. Is Ian correct? Is that what sort of happened from your own view as a professional cricket umpire? Is that what's likely to have occurred?
Well, get myself plugged in.
All right, Emma's always good at plugging people in. So there we are.
No, it's one of these accidents that do happen.
I think we'll pop you on another microphone, actually, John, if that's okay. Just move that one around there, the one with the arm. There we are. It's a wonderful thing. Just take it all the way around, and then you can quite happily talk, and people will be able to hear your dulcet tones.
Let's
go again. We're fine now. Yes.
It's definitely live, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Yeah, we like to say that, you know, as opposed to pre-recorded, or else it's a heck of a good rehearsal. John.
Yeah, I was just saying that, as far as I'm concerned, these accidents do happen in cricket. The helmets aren't 100% bulletproof, shall we say. Look at the way that Broad was injured in the Test Series last year, and that was a ball that went underneath the helmet and hit him on the nose, sort of thing.
And McGutting as well.
It happens all the time, and it's one of these hazards of cricket, I'm afraid.
You see, you don't get that in baseball, or maybe you do. Astounding.
You do get people in it.
It makes Lewis Hamilton's achievement mild by comparison, isn't it, really, in terms of the sort of speed that he actually goes to. Still, nothing.
200 miles an hour down the street.
Yeah. Anyway, reflecting on that whole thing, John, do you think we can look forward to a successful period of English cricket now? Do you think that we've actually turned the corner and now that the and presumably your Christmas present is obviously the Kevin Peterson biography?
Of course.
Big fan of KP is John Wenham. Not. Sorry, to tease out his reference.
No, I think he deserved all he got, but that's my own opinion. I think we're turning the corner. I don't think we've actually turned it at the moment. I think we've got to master the likes of Sri Lanka and South Africa and the West Indies before we can start to say we've turned around.
Emma, cricket, is it something you've ever considered, or is it just a case of, why? What a strange and bizarre game.
My brother played a lot of cricket. Uh-huh. He when he was younger, he was an avid football player, but he got injured, so he had to then go on to cricket more. And he's actually quite good at cricket, despite the fact that everyone who's ever trained him has said that he's got a weird run-up.
A weird run-up.
But it doesn't matter that it looks. It doesn't matter that it looks weird. Yeah. I think he sort of waddles.
He waddles. Back to ducks again. But best not go down that.
It doesn't matter that it looks weird because by the time he actually does do his bowl, it is good. So
it doesn't matter, Emma, which way that you run up to the wicket.
No, it's not about style.
It is the delivery that counts. Look at the funny run out that the old Bob Willis used to have. And he looked like a waddling duck sometimes, but I mean he was an absolute fabulous bowler.
And there we have it. Essential. It's not the waddle or the run up. It's the final bowl. That's the whole thing.
It's the delivery that counts.
Well, fantastic. John, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Wonderful, and it's always a pleasure. We must hold you for a few moments because you need to be part of the photo shoot now so we can actually see the sort of thing there. So that's great. Emma, would you... Actually, no. Ian, stay with us while we do the photo shoot. We've got just enough time to actually squeeze in Cameron Tilbury's musical selection for this week. It's a band, sort of individual, really, called Weak Need. You see... dodgy run-up. Now, obviously, it's Weak Need, as in N-double-E-D. It's Good Favour on Siren 107.3 FM. Clearly heard Nick Elliott's views last night on the whole production, and indeed Sue Royce, and of course yourself, Emma, and of course those of Kat. But critical thing is, the day after, what did you make, Ian Lennox, of Weak Need?
I liked it, actually. I think it's a different, not so much sound, but just the way it's all arranged and everything is quite different. And,
we thought it was a different sound as well, to the extent we thought, was this the same one we played last night? But, you know, quite clearly, you know, it's the context
it
in
was,
which
it's
played.
It's okay,
yeah,
okay.
It was indeed. Yes, we can always double-check on that whole thing, but just a momentary thought, we played the right tune here, but yes, it's fantastic. Well done. It's thumbs up for a Weak Need, etc. Okay, coming up shortly, we'll be speaking to consumer expert Alice Beer and Ayaz Alam from Asda. AAA. I know, it's a fun one. So that'll be happening. Plus, of course, Andy Comfort from BBC Radio Humberside, the award-winning Drive Time host, of course. He used to do the breakfast show, but realised he couldn't compete against the Midweek Drive morning edition, so switched to the Drive Time.
Of
so,
course,
only
of
kidding,
course.
Andy. It's all there. William Sitwell is back with us. Plus, of course, we'll be speaking to Karen Woodward from the Apprenticeships, National Apprenticeship Scheme, with Juliet Welsh, actually, joined us for a special yesterday, a third-year English student. She was quite expecting it. Mind you, I wasn't expecting it.
She
very
seemed a bit surprised.
It was curious because I'm not used to Juliet actually wearing glasses. She wore glasses. I didn't recognise her at all. It happens all the time. It's like Clark Kent and Superman. Ian, you're going to get those last two questions now, and Emma's going to ask them. Go, Emma.
Yes, Ian, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Yes, I have.
And will you be joining us again on the show anytime soon?
I certainly hope so.
Yay! Coming up very shortly, of course, on December the 24th, Christmas Eve, and the launch of Sound and Nick's Vision.
Very exciting.
Christmas special. Spoke about Roy Wood in terms of Wizard, and that's obviously featured. I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day. Roy Wood's major band, The Move, had the first ever song played on BBC Radio 1 just after the Pirates stuff happened, etc.
Wow.
Started off with a thunderclap, a rainstorm. Do you know what it was actually called, Ian Lennox?
Not a clue.
Flowers in the Rain.
Oh!
Woke up one morning half asleep with all my blankets in a heap. And